We're talking about the dangers of laundry pods here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Procter & Gamble brought them to our world in the form of Tide Pods in 2012, and these concentrated and candy-colored packets of detergent have really swept the marketplace, and they've been in the news. Parents and caregivers, have you talked to your children about not eating laundry pods or about chemicals we keep in our houses? What did you tell them? And does it frustrate you that you have to do that about products you use? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Jake Meth is an associate editor at Fortune magazine. His recent cover story for Fortune is called The Tragic Side of Tide Pods. Jake, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Yeah, thank you.
Well, let's start with the story of 8-year-old Bella, and you share this story as you look at laundry pods and specifically Tide Pods. What happened to Bella?
Right. So when Bella was 2 years old, she was in her home. Her mother had just bought her first case of Tide Pods, and this was in 2012, the year that they were launched. And no one really knew much about them at the time. And these pods were inside a clear plastic tub, which a lot of people would say looks like a candy jar. And when her mother looked away for a second, Bella opened the jar, or opened the tub, and took out a pod and bit into it. And she was only 2 at the time, so she had no idea. You know, she was too young to know what she was doing. And as a result of that, she ingested a little bit of the detergent inside of it, and that caused her eventually to go into a serious medical situation where she stopped breathing, she briefly flatlined, and she had to be intubated for over 2 weeks while they tried to clear her lungs of the laundry detergent that had flooded it. She barely lived.
How is she doing today?
She's doing much better. It was really comforting to see that she was a functioning, happy-go-lucky 8-year-old today. But she's been through the ringer. She has had 2 major eye surgeries because she had a condition, or continues to have a condition called strabismus, which causes her eyes to be misaligned vertically. And that has led to situations where she would just be falling down, tripping over herself, basically had huge balance problems. It's gotten a lot better, but she's had major issues with that, and she also was more prone to sickness after the event. And all of these conditions her doctors attributed to the oxygen deprivation that she experienced during the Tide Pod incident.
So given what we know about these detergent-related injuries, are these cases, like Bella's, the norm?
Bella's case is not the norm. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we say that most situations that involve these do not result in someone almost dying. That said, though, In terms of laundry detergent as a category, pods only make up about 16% of that market, but they make up 80% of major injuries that are related to laundry detergent. And so when injuries are serious, they're more serious, and pods are much more likely to cause an injury where someone has to go and get medical treatment than you would experience with regular laundry detergent or even with your average household cleaning product.
Well, what is the history of these laundry detergent pods? What is the backstory here? How did they come to be?
So back in the middle of the 2000s, Procter & Gamble was looking for a product that would energize the laundry detergent category. And they started working on a way to create a single-dose packet of laundry detergent that contained liquid that tends to clean better than powder. And so they developed this product over a course of 8 years, And in 2012, they launched it, and they were really excited about it because the laundry detergent category was becoming commoditized. People were no longer just going to the store to buy Tide. They were going to just buy whatever was the cheapest detergent, and Tide Pods allowed Procter & Gamble to have a distinguished product on the shelves. And so when they launched it, it became a big hit for them. People loved the product, and over the course of from then until today, it's become a major product for them, and it's captured about a fifth of the laundry detergent market.
We're looking at the history of laundry pods and the public safety risk and what companies and regulators are doing about them. Jake Meth is an associate editor at Fortune magazine. Have you or someone you know ingested a laundry pod, like a Tide pod? What happened? Or do you refuse to keep them in the house to protect young children or older adults with dementia-related illness who may think they're candy? You can call in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jake, when did concerns about these and their connection to laundry detergent-related injuries, when did something arise here that people started turning their heads and noticing this?
So almost immediately, the product came out in February of 2012, and I believe it was in May that the CDC issued a warning that this was an emerging public health hazard because poison control centers were reporting a huge spike in calls related to this new product, and the poison control centers didn't even really know exactly how to treat them because they were a new product. So that was a very quick response. And the way that most people know about this, the dangers of pods, at least recently, was this Tide Pod Challenge internet phenomenon that went on at the end of 2017 into early 2018. And that was a serious problem. There were a lot of teenagers who were intentionally ingesting them as a sort of like a kind of online dare. But in terms of the absolute number of poison incidents, those were relatively low compared to young children under the age of six.
Looking more closely at this Tide Pod Challenge and what was happening on the internet, how did this affect how laundry pod poisoning was viewed and is viewed today?
I guess the challenge definitely brought more public attention to the problem. There was definitely some attention when the product came out in 2012 and 2013. But then after that, the industry made safety changes to the product, and even consumer advocates and the industry at that time were happy with the changes that were being made. And so in 2017, the numbers in terms of calls to poison control and emergency room visits had not really dropped below what they were when the product came out, but the issue was not really in the public consciousness. And so when the Tide Pod Challenge happened, it brought that back into the limelight. And as one result of that, two lawmakers from New York State began to put a lot of pressure on Procter & Gamble to make further safety changes to the product. Even though they were focusing on young children, the media attention around the Tide Pod Challenge sort of gave them the opening to bring this issue back into the limelight.
What has P&G done? How have they responded to concerns over safety and to these incidents involving laundry pods?
So P&G and other manufacturers, and it's worth mentioning that P&G is the focus here because they take up about 80% of the pod market. They made significant safety changes over the years, over the 7 years since the product's been out. And in 2015, they made, they agreed to a set of standards that they're legally bound to, in which pods need to be in a very difficult to open external package. It needs to be opaque, so you can't see through what's inside of it. And they need to have standard warning labels on it. And also, they changed the pods themselves so that they have a bittering agent on them, so you'd have to spit it out very quickly. they can withstand a certain amount of pressure, and they don't dissolve as quickly in water. These changes have been made, and they went into effect at the beginning of 2017. Since then, we've been able to see the data from 2017, and while there was a drop in terms of the number of incidents related to pods when adjusted for market size, because there are more pods on the market, the absolute number of incidents with emergency room visits and calls to poison control still have not dropped below what they were in 2013. So you've had basically a five-year period where the number of incidents has basically stayed. It went up a little bit, and then it went back down to where it was at the start.
And besides the lawmakers in New York, how have regulators been a part of this?
So laundry pods are regulated by the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and they've played a role in the process in 2015 when safety standards were developed. They pushed the they actually went public and made a statement, which is rare for them, pushing manufacturers to make safety changes. And they brought consumer advocates into the process and tried to make it a holistic process to change the safety. Since then, they've largely played a more passive role. They haven't issued any public statements, and the last statement that we got from them when reporting the article was that they were satisfied with the progress that was made in 2017, and that but that they were still looking to help continue the safety of related to the number of ingestions.
Fortune Magazine's Jake Meth stays with us. His recent cover story for Fortune is called The Tragic Side of Tide Pods. Stay with us for this conversation on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the issues of laundry pods here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Last year, Tide was caught in the middle of this unexpected viral trend called the Tide Pod Challenge, in which teenagers dared one another to consume Tide Pod detergent packets, which contain poisonous substances. And we're looking at the implications for laundry pod makers and the public health challenge surrounding these products. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you refuse to buy laundry pods because you're worried about something in your house and who might use them for the wrong reasons or think they may be candy? And how do you manage keeping products you use out of the hands of kids and vulnerable adults? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We're talking with Jake Meth, who covered the public safety concerns surrounding laundry pods for his recent cover story for Fortune magazine titled The Tragic Side of Tide Pods. Let's go to the phones now with Paula joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Paula.
Oh, hi. Yeah, my comment is exactly what you just mentioned, is I was wondering where in the discussion, and obviously any child that gets hurt, anything in a household is tragic and horrible, but the parents' responsibility, any household product and or appliance and or is a danger to little toddler children and or child. So, yeah, very, very important, I believe, to where is that in the discussion.
Paula, thanks for the call. Jake, this really comes down to, as Paula says, is about protecting your own children who are vulnerable to all of these different things in the home.
Absolutely. And this is one of the more difficult questions that we tried to confront in this article because, like Paul is saying, there are a lot of. It is a legitimate point that parents need to make sure that their households are safe for their children. What we found with this product that's a little bit different than other household products, though, is that this product. So for example, if you have a product like bleach, right? We all know that bleach is dangerous and. It's not in a package that is attractive to a young child, and so kind of the elephant in the room of this whole story is that laundry pods are, despite all the safety changes that have been made, they're still designed to look very colorful and exciting in a way that a lot of people believe looks like candy. And so when you have a product that's causing a lot of safety issues, what consumer advocates have been saying is, why don't we make a change that would make this less attractive to children? It doesn't take away the responsibility of parents to make sure that the product is safely stored and to watch their children, but it may improve the numbers related to safety.
Let's go to Marcus now in Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus.
Good morning, Kate. So there's, I actually just came across it yesterday. There's a fantastic video clip from Dr. Jillian Theobald at Frederick of Milwaukee, and she basically explained, you know, the dangers and some suggestions on how to deal with or mitigate the risk of child accidentally swallowing these. But I agree with Paula. I think it really comes down to parental responsibility and just teaching your kids and, you know, making sure things are put away.
As Marcus says, that there is safety education out there for using products. Is there safety education around laundry pods?
Absolutely. And this is something I also wanted to mention, was that, you know, we spoke extensively with Procter & Gamble throughout the reporting of this article. And they emphasized two main things. The first is that they made changes to the exterior packaging and to certain changes to the product to make it safer, like we discussed earlier. And the other thing that they really emphasized was that they made a huge push to educate caregivers and parents about the safety of the product, putting it up away from the hands of children, and making sure that it's closed after it's being used and not leaving pods out. And so that's been their emphasis. And from what we could understand, the way that they look at this issue is that they're doing everything they can to make sure that and they've actually said this, that their priority is to make sure that the pod never gets into the child's hands in the first place. This is their approach to the safety problem, and the consumer advocates basically have said on the other side that, yes, it's great that you're doing these things, but that there may be further changes that need to be made, and that's kind of where the debate is centered right now.
Let's go to Jessica joining us from Portage. Good morning, Jessica.
Morning.
What are your thoughts on Tide Pods and other laundry pods?
I love my Tide Pods, and I will keep buying them. I have a three-year-old. They save me a lot of trouble when I have to go to the laundromat and wash stuff because I don't have to lug big jugs of laundry detergent. And honestly, with the teenagers have been doing stupid stuff for forever, like dumping boiling hot water on themselves or lighting themselves on fire. So villainizing one product isn't going to stop teenagers from being dumb.
Jessica, do you take extra steps, though, with your pods because you do have a toddler?
Well, of course, I keep all my chemicals and stuff either in a locked cabinet or high up that she can't reach them. I mean, it's just common sense.
Jessica, thanks for the call. Jake, you know, consumers like these products, these pods. Are they popular?
Yeah, they're very popular, and we're hearing that in the calls, too. They make up, between when they launched and now, the amount of pods on the market, or their share of the market, they grew 136%, and laundry detergents grew 7% during that period, like overall laundry detergents. So they've been huge. They make up about $1.5 billion in sales each year, and they've really become a popular product because of, like the previous caller was saying, they're really easy to use and they're convenient. One point to make, just additional point on that, is that what I think it has continued to happen is that the safety issue with this has been continued to be conflated with that of teenagers. And so what this article is trying to do was to really emphasize that this is actually for children who are under the age of 6, and actually most of them are 1 or 2 years old, who really don't know any better and think that they look like candy. And also the other population at risk that we found is seniors with dementia. And in that situation, it's actually more difficult to keep them safe because you can't keep them keep the pods away from them as easily.
And you tell a story of one such person with dementia. You know, we don't really think about that in terms of other older populations, but that is a problem.
It's a huge problem, and we don't have enough data on that because the poison control centers don't collect data at a certain age. You know, they don't collect 70 and over or ages like that. They mostly segmented by very younger ages. But we do know that 7 seniors with dementia have died since 2013 in cases related to laundry pods, and one of whom was Dennis Powers, who we spoke with his family for the article. And he actually tried to eat 5 of them. It was a really horrible story. Obviously, his family had no idea that a product like this could be so dangerous when they bought it.
Very quickly, as we wrap up, what are you watching for when it comes to legislation on these pods?
Well, we'll see what happens with the New York State legislation. The lawmakers have said that they're going to continue pushing, but this legislation has been stalled for about 4 or 5 years now, I think. Some advocates told me that they are hoping Congress will step in, and Congress did introduce a bill back in 2015 when the numbers of incidents was at its highest. But generally, the approach has been both with Congress and with federal regulators to have the industry make these changes voluntarily. And so there's nothing on the horizon right now, but that could change. It really just depends on whether there's a public perception that this product is dangerous.
Jake, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Jake Meth is an associate editor at Fortune magazine, and his recent cover story for Fortune is called The Tragic Side of Tide Pods. You hear this conversation on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.